When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Playing with Squirrels podcast. I am once again joined by Tommy Avalone, the director, writer, and various other things that you do. Former ha-ha hip-hop performer. So, you were on the show for season one, and you had told me, my favorite episode, I want to do the episode where Corey thinks he's going to be a werewolf.
Yeah.
So, since I'm out here in L.A., this is July. This isn't coming out until October, but we're recording in July. I figured I'm out here. Let's talk about this episode. Right out the gate, much shorter intro than the first season.
What do you mean?
The opening credits goes from like that minute-long sax solo to just a cartoon of a kid stopping a world from crushing him in 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, I think that's maybe why I like the second season. I mean, I would like to think that Boy Meets World has more different intros than any other show that's ever made.
I think it's genuinely every season had a different
or
close to. I think like five of the seven seasons.
Because after this they had that weird like everyone hanging out Chubby's tone where it was like, you know, in blue and then red and all that stuff.
That was
season three. And then they came down the steps and then jumped in the Corvette or like whatever
car. And
then
it was the surfing song for like two seasons. And then the last two was when the Boy Meets World song that
everyone
has.
Yeah, the Boy Meets World. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So that's what? One,
two. That's five out of seven seasons. That's a lot of theme song changes.
It's more than Monk. Like Monk had like what? Two or three, right?
Two or three. Because I remember Randy Newman was like the theme song for a while. Yeah. All right. So.
But this season two is by far my favorite intro season.
Yeah.
And but the intro to season one was so bad. I remember it was one of the first shows I bought on DVD.
Yeah.
And I go, I can't do this anymore.
It's so long. You have to skip past it.
Yeah.
So the focus of this episode is Corey's going through puberty, but he thinks that he's turning into a werewolf because a wolf escaped from the zoo, maybe. as we find out later at the end. So it starts off, Corey's writing his memoirs. He's explaining to people why he has to go away forever. And that's when best buddy Sean comes in his Corey costume, which I thought was...
I like how you don't even have headphones. You're like, you don't even know if the volume's good.
I trust it.
Do you trust it, or are you just okay with bad quality?
I trust it. No one listens to the show.
Yeah.
Trust me, the Disney podcast. I got headphones galore.
30 minutes to waste. You know, no one's gonna listen to this.
You got a thing coming out, right? So
we paid attention to the audio volumes.
Yeah, everything's good.
You were saying.
So one of the things that I noticed in this episode that I always missed is that this episode actually addresses a frequent complaint, which is that Corey says they're in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Which I've never caught on to that, because every time that we've done this episode, everyone's been like, you can't find a house like that in Philadelphia.
Right, yeah. Well, because it's like, his version of Philadelphia is very suburb, but like when Sean goes with Turner, you know, it's all this dirty, gritty, you know.
That looks like a Philadelphia apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because like, it's so funny, like, because, you know, I'm from South Jersey. Worked in Philadelphia for 11 years. My in-laws live in Philadelphia proper, and he came out here to visit because I live in California now. And he ran into someone like, oh, from Philadelphia. It's like, oh, where? And it's like Upper Darby or something like that. It's like, not Upper Darby. It was like a suburb of Philadelphia, like 40 minutes from Philadelphia. And like he got mad. He's like, that's not Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, so I could see like technically where I'm from, New Jersey, is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Yeah. And I'm like 20 minutes from Philly as well. Like,
Do you ever say you're from Philly?
Only if I'm talking to someone who's like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, if I say I'm from Aston, Pennsylvania, they're gonna be like, I have no clue what that is. Yeah, but I say I'm from Philly, it gives them like a
rough
idea.
But are you technically, like, if you go to your Wikipedia page for your town, does it say you're a Philadelphia suburb?
No, it says that we're just outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
So we're not included. We're too close to Delaware, I think. Yeah. We're practically Delaware at this point.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I never picked up on that until this episode where he goes, yeah. Wolf out here in the burbs?
I feel like sometimes they're just like, well, let's not research or pay attention to our own history, you know? Like, especially like when Spang is like, oh, you know, I've known you, you're saying Corey Matthews, I've known since I was three.
Yeah.
It's like, that's changed so many different times. It's like, you know, we met here, you know, like in the show, it's like the first time they're really seeing each other is around fifth or sixth grade, you know? And then like, I'm pretty sure that's true, right?
And yeah, there's like, one episode where it's like they've been dating since they were three, and they show like a flashback to them as children at a zoo.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's like, that's not true.
That's the only downside with, I think this show had like so many writers in and out throughout the seven seasons. Like, it wasn't like how you do sitcoms now where you have like your showrunner, but you have a pretty dedicated group of writers.
Or someone who's watched a prior episode.
Yeah, like, it just feels like everyone's just throwing shit at the wall, on especially the earlier episodes. I think towards the end, they had like a more cohesive writing team, but these early seasons are all over the place with tones and characters, and it's weird. So Corey believes that he was bitten by a werewolf because something attacked him when he was taking out the trash, and the bite's not there. And as we all know, werewolf bites heal overnight.
Yes.
I love the logic. It's such a very child thought process.
Yeah.
Like, I think they did a really good job with this episode of, A, I think that Fred Savage did a great job. Like, Ben? Fred Savage was always good.
Ben.
Ben does a really good job of, like, playing. I mean, he's always does a good job with Corey, but this was, like, pretty decent child acting.
Well, that's that whole, like, Goonies sort of side. I never really watched Goonies, but, like, but, like, it's that whole, like, mythical sort of, like, kid's imagination. These things are real and they're really happening. Yeah.
He does a good job with it, and, Eric...
Are you in the Goonies documentary?
No, I'm in the Monster Squad documentary.
That's it. Sorry.
The Wolfman's Got Nards.
Yeah.
See it at a theater near you.
Zach Ryder's in that.
Yeah. There's a lot of... I was very excited.
But how do you know you're actually in it? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. Andre, the director, texted me and was like, hey, you made the cut.
Oh, cool.
And then a bunch of random people who've seen it at festivals have messaged me and been like, holy shit, you're in this documentary that I saw.
Yeah, because we played the same time in Chicago with them.
Yeah.
But we don't... I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I hear it's great. So I'm excited to see it. I'll probably cut this. Although Wolfman's Got Nards is appropriate to the episode that we're discussing, so maybe I'll keep it.
Do what you want
to
do.
So, yeah, he buys into Eric's gording and poking and prodding with all
What's your favorite Eric? Is it dumb Eric or...
conniving Eric?
Or horny Eric?
I like dumb Eric.
Yeah?
I like dumb Eric. Because dumb Eric gives us, like, some of the best episodes and moments of the later seasons are all from dumb Eric. Him hiding inside of a painting during the prank wars. He's like, to me, he's the star of the Scream episode, which I still think is one of the best episodes.
Oh, because,
like,
he brought Jennifer Love Hewitt in there.
But, like...
because they were dating.
Yeah. He has that one...
Trojan War, man.
Yeah. I bought it on DVD and was very excited.
It is on DVD?
You
put out Shout?
No, it's on that, like, Warner's Archives thing where you can, like, buy a DVD off of them.
Oh. What's that? I don't know what that is.
It's... Warner Brothers has a deal with Amazon where they have, like, a huge archive where they don't think that it's worth mass producing the DVDs, but if you buy it, they will make the DVD and send it to you.
Oh, cool.
So, it has no special features, but it is a DVD that I've watched, like, four times this year.
That's a fantastic movie.
It's stupid that that movie doesn't have a better release, because it's really stupid, fucking good.
Yeah. It's you and me that like the movie. Unless you're going to make a Trojan War podcast,
well,
which could happen. Yeah, you like wasting happen, your time.
You're
like, I have all this time.
We looked at the Wikipedia page for it the other day when we were doing the Horror Movie Night live stream. That movie made $309 in its box office release.
$309?
That's on a $15 million budget.
$309.
Yeah, $309 period cents.
That's gonna make that's not true.
That's like one of the biggest. It's one of the biggest box office bombs of all time.
I didn't even know it was on the box. I thought it was. Yeah.
It got such a small release that it made.
I don't
$9 over $300.
I don't believe that.
It's a shame because I really do. That's a movie I just discovered one time on like HBO or something. They were playing it.
Yeah.
But it was good. It's a very good movie, and Eric's filling Corey's head with, like, you're a werewolf, here's all the signs. And he uses the Weekly World News as a way to further prove his point, which just always makes me excited, because I absolutely used to buy the Weekly World News.
Is that still a thing?
I think it is gone now. But
it used to be a show on USA, right? Like, right after, like, Weird Science and Duckman?
I think so. Man, yeah. I forgot about Duckman. Duckman was great.
Yeah. That's one of those shows that I'm nervous to ever watch again. Because I have such a great memory of it that
I
don't know.
It is on DVD.
I don't know if it would have paid off.
I bet it's still really good, actually.
Yeah?
I mean, I like Jason Alexander.
As a duck?
Yeah, I mean, I like him as anything, but as a duck particularly.
I have a fond thing for ducks. I like Scrooge McDuck, Darwin Duck. I don't like Howard the Duck, though.
I don't think many people do. I like the comic book of Howard the Duck. The actual movie of Howard the Duck is not
the great. New DuckTales is amazing.
I've heard that from so many people. I need to watch that, and apparently I need to watch the new Muppet Babies, too. But
oh, yeah, I don't know.
Apparently they did a Ferris Bueller parody recently, and someone posted on my wall to show me. So they keep doing these little jokes about Corey clearly going through puberty more than anything. And the one line was, you know, he's talking about how he's watching The Untouchables, but all he can think is, I wonder how cold the water is in Baywatch. Which is such a weird... There's like three or four really weird jokes in this episode that, like, the canned laughter really shows.
Okay.
Because there's no way a human being in an audience would laugh that hard at some of them. The Billy Joel joke from Phyllis Diller is extremely confusing to me.
What one's that?
She's like, you've been bitten by a wolf. And he's like, yes. And she's like, you're afraid you're going to turn into a wolfman. He goes, yes. And she's like, you're recently divorced. He goes, what? And she goes, wait, you're not Billy Joel? And then that's the joke.
Oh, yeah.
I and
know.
I was like, that was a bad joke.
But what I do like about the... I wrote notes. the Phyllis Diller thing. Oh, when he said something about head cheese. Do you know the line with the head cheese?
Yeah, she says, like, his diet's going to change. And he goes, well, please not head cheese.
I just love how Corey is such an old man. Like, like not head cheese. There's one episode later, he's like, is it wool? Because I can't take wool. I can't wear wool. Like, he's such an old man. It's so, so funny.
It's definitely one of the best traits that they gave to Corey that I think does continue throughout the show is that he's always just, like, the old homebody man.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Like that celery poster, like, yeah.
It's my favorite. I want that poster so bad. I love it.
Find it.
You can. I just don't know if I want to pay the $40 for it when I know I could just print it.
It'd probably be that much to print.
That's probably true. They actually do a surprisingly good job doing a parody of the Wolfman from the 40s in this.
Okay.
With the ice cream parlor vendor being basically being Bela Lugosi's character. It's very funny in this.
I don't have a horror podcast, so I don't know.
I love all those old Universal movies. And then there's, like, these weird... Like, I like the joke where she says you're going to have a pentagram in your hand.
Yeah.
He's holding his teacher's keys, and it's the Pentagon in
his hand. And the voiceover goes, same difference.
Yeah. But that's when we get to your line, the line that you love. We get married, we have kids, and then I eat them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just... it's just like that old man sort of thing. It's like... You know, when they want you to take the roles. It's just like that, and then they eat them. You know, it's just very...
And it's like, I don't think I knew that in sixth grade, that, like, would eat their puppies. Like,
I don't know that now. Yeah. That's a thing?
That's what the reference is. But, like, it's so weird to me.
Yeah. Because it's not a nice thing to do.
No.
I just think it's so funny, like, he's just so... The way Corey delivers everything is that old man style, and I just think it's so funny.
I just like all of the weird references to him basically becoming a dog. Like, he says he's going to play fetch with the ball. Eric brings him his dinner in a doggy bowl, which I just think is hysterical for some reason.
But the fact that the voiceover is, like, talking to him, he's like, I thought you said Pentagon. She's like, same difference.
Yeah. There's, like, two or three different jokes, I think, where he interacts with the voice in his head, which just... further proves that it's a voice in his head and he's, like, making himself crazy.
I just think all Halloween episodes for any TV show, like Home Improvement, Roseanne...
They're so good.
They're, you know, Christmas episodes or whatever, you know? But, like, Halloween ones are so, so great. It's the ones that everyone, I think, looks forward to.
Yeah, I think that they actually did. I wrote down a note that the werewolf makeup for just a throwaway 8-second shot is, like, pretty damn good, too, when he, like, looks in the mirror and transforms into a wolf. I was like, that probably took a lot more time and energy than was worth this 7-minute joke, but, like...
I think if it was longer than the 7 seconds, you'd probably be like, it's not that good.
Yeah, no, some terrible special effects there. The only other note that I really have of, like, a quote that I wanted to mention is, Topanga and her costume of a damsel, but not one that's in distress, one that's perfectly got everything under control and is fine with her station in life, or something like that.
Well, what Topanga do you like better? The hippie, weird Topanga that, like, her father makes guitars and stuff like that? Or do you like the super smart, just girly girl?
I kind of like the second and third season Topanga because it's a weird mix of both. Like, she is, like, the girly girl, but she does have, like, these, like, early feministic views like that.
Right.
Where I'm like, I kind of, like, because I think weird Topanga's too weird sometimes.
Right, so that being just first season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is still weird Topanga.
Yeah, she's a little weird, but she's definitely, like, more together.
Right.
Than she was in any of the first season. And I think that you and I have watched both the first and second kiss between Corey and Topanga.
Oh, really?
Because the first episode we did was the... Because I think we talked about the weird crowd cheering when they made out.
Well, I even wrote a note how, as a director of a TV show, like, for this person, how it's, like, how uncomfortable must be, like, to be like, I think we need to see that again. Can these two 50-year-olds kiss again? And please, tuck her in a little bit, you know? And then have her say, like, no, you are a wolf. Yeah. Like, that...
That's a weird line for someone who's supposed to be 12.
this is probably someone in their 30s or 40s writing it, and then someone in their 30s or 40s directing it. You know, like, I just think it's so inappropriate. Like, I get that stuff happens, you know, but, like, I guess, you know?
I think it must be weird to do any TV show where most of your cast is, like, children.
Yeah.
In general, because I feel like that's just always got to be a weird vibe on the set, especially if it's supposed to be, like, a romantic story between children.
All these, like, older, fat people probably, like, breathing, like, holding the microphone, like, yeah, I got the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good kiss, bud. You know, like, there's no...
Some weird guy just giving him thumbs up from the catering table.
Yeah. Like, way to go, buddy. Yeah. Became a man.
No one wants that. I think...
Yeah.
I forget
who parents are watching.
Yeah, someone...
Topanga's parents are watching. You know, Corey's parents are probably watching. I mean, not even their scripted parents, but now their real parents
are
probably watching.
Their real parents are there.
Their tutors watching.
I can't remember if we talked about this, but wasn't the kiss... Didn't we read somewhere that the kiss in the episode we watched previously was, like, one of the actors' genuine first kiss? Like,
I mean, I don't read anything. Yeah,
but that has to, like... That's got to be weird, too. Like, yeah. I know that happens a lot.
I know that's
a
Saved by the Bell thing. I think that was, like, someone at one point's first kiss. Or that's what the PR spin to it all is, you know? It's like, oh, that was my first kiss. Yeah.
That's still weird. I feel like that would be really weird if your first kiss ever was filmed and documented in a DVD.
Like, how many times are they watching that going, do you think I did a good job? You know? Like,
so, what...
It's the tuck-in that is, like, like, he pulls her in.
Yeah, it's like...
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's doing, like, the end of Casablanca there. Like, it's, like, really over the top.
You know, none of us are ladies, man, but, like, can you imagine your first kiss being the tuck-in, like, pull me in here? Yeah. Like, no. You're like, is any of this good?
Here. Yeah, I was gonna say, my first kiss started with, like, would it be... Do you mind if I was to kiss you?
Yeah.
I didn't have any balls to just go in. Like you said, not even just go in, pull her to you.
Yeah.
With a dip.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. So
you are a wolf. That's so uncomfortable. In the running room, they go, and then she could say, and then you're a wolf.
Yeah.
Like, that's sexy, right? Yeah. For 15-year-olds to be saying this.
We're saying 15. They are in 7th grade.
Oh, really?
That is 12. That is 12.
I'm 35. I have no idea.
That is way too young. That's younger than my nephew right now. That is terrifying to me.
Does the audience know how old your nephew is?
He's 13.
Right, because everyone who's listening is related to you. Right. Okay. There we go.
So why this episode, though?
I'm so proud of that joke. Yes! Man, some days you just go, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm really, really good.
I feel like people who listen to any podcast between you and I probably walk away like, man, Tommy hates Matt.
The funny thing is, I think you're just saying this because you want me to go, no, I'm friends with you, Matt. I like you.
Please confirm. I need this. You saw right through me,
I believe. Yeah. Well, I make movies on delusion, so I'm good. Let me do my notes real quick.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea that Sean is dressing like Corey. because that's, I think that's funny when friends dress like that. I've dressed like my friends for Halloween too. I think that's hilarious. And then also the transitions, like that whole, like, I don't even know what the weird wipe.
Yeah, it's almost like a water effect in iMovie.
I just think that stuff is so funny. You know, like, I'm not, what year would that have been when it came out? You know this stuff.
I want to say it was 94.
94? Yeah, like, I'm sure, like, it wasn't as cheesy then, but, like, it's, maybe, I mean, they knew what they were doing. But, like, I just think that stuff's so funny. And, like, if only whenever we made points in our lives that, like, meant something, that lightning would strike.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that would happen to me. Like, you know, he's like, but you are turning into a werewolf. And it's like, yeah. Like, if I just, when I made fun of you just there, if lightning struck, that would have just
killed. I can edit that in there. If
you want. Please. Yeah, God. Actually, if you want to just, like, you should right now. Here you go. Because it won't make sense before, right? If you add the transition, that, like, the noise then.
Yeah.
Let's do a recap right now. Like a transition. Make that water-sounding transition, right? Yeah, go back to that moment.
I'll play the clip again.
Play the clip. Then with the lightning, transition back out.
That is way too young. That's younger than my nephew right now. That is terrifying to me.
Does the audience know how old your nephew is?
He's 13.
Oh, right, because everyone who's listening is related to you. Right. Okay. There we go. And we're back. That's great. Yeah, there you go.
I'm 100% doing that.
You should. It's fantastic. It's, I mean, that's proper producing. And then, you know, these are stupid notes, but, like, I love any time that just brands just say cola.
Yeah.
You know? And I wanted to get your opinion. I've asked you this about Topanga and Eric, but, like, what version of Sean did you like? Did you like dumb Sean, or did you like poet Sean?
I like poet Sean.
Really?
Well, you see, you're only giving me two options. You're missing the middle options where it's just cool Sean. Like,
but that's still dumb Sean. Like,
I don't think...
What do you feel was the cool Sean? What?
Cool Sean to me is, like, shortly after living with Turner, after Turner dies, but before he finds, like, his poetic side, where he's kind of just the, like, he's not dumb, but he believes himself to be dumb, so he's always just kind of like, Corey, there's no future for me. Like, I'm just, bad boy Sean.
So, okay. So dumb Sean, cool Sean, and then poetic Sean.
Yeah, I think poetic Sean's, like, when he gets his shit together. And
so
like,
you're still poetic.
Yeah, he's still...
But that's your pick. Still
no. If I had that third choice, I'd go with cool Sean.
Yeah? I love dumb Sean. Like, when, like, he, like, when Turner in this episode's, like, Robertson Crusoe, or, like, whatever, like, that joke from the...
Yeah, he sings the Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, and he goes, I read this book. Like, that's so funny. Like, I mean, like, I like dumb Sean more than I like dumb Eric.
I can agree with that.
And they really switched there, you know, like, they did. Someone like, needs a cool guy, you know, someone needs to be the dumb guy, you know?
Yeah, and I think that there's literally... I wonder if we can track it down to... There's definitely an episode where Eric... Oh, we discussed that episode where Eric's giving Sean, like, dating advice. And, or maybe it was someone else. I did an episode with someone where it's in the first season when Sean first starts to notice girls.
Yeah.
And Eric's giving him, like, a bunch of dating advice. And it's almost like a weird passing of the torch moment. But I feel like the following season, they definitely started to push more towards, like...
Really?
Women like Sean and Eric is dumb. I don't think it was, like, intentional, but I think it's funny that they're...
Yeah, but
they
it's
had
still
a
not a,
moment.
It's not a dumb... like, a passing of the dumb torch.
No, it's a passing of the... how to take care of women and be a cool guy.
Take care of women. Jeez. You said that.
And I've only been single for 11 years. Who would have guessed?
I'm trying to think, like... there was another, like, Sean and Eric moment that later, about, like, after Sean's dad died and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I like dumb Sean. That's my favorite. I just love dumb characters when they're just, like, dumb. You know, like, just, like, stupid stuff.
It's towards the end, but it's one of my favorite uncomfortable jokes in Boy Meets World, which is when Corey and Sean have, like, a big screaming match at Corey's wedding. And Corey makes some comment about Sean living in a trailer park, and then out of nowhere, Eric just yells, "Ha ha! Sean's poor."
Well, yeah, like, I mean, even the conversation I was talking about, he's like, "Oh yeah, because your dad's dead."
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, yeah,
so good. I love dumb Eric. I love him. He's so what the show needed at that point, because they made everyone else smart, and they really needed a dumb character.
That last couple seasons, I mean, everyone started to become a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think Corey's like, underpants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I love about it. Yeah, like, they just went off the rails towards the end.
They were just doing, like, South Park impressions. They were just making each other laugh. They were just, like, having a good time. Yeah.
And there's something, like, I don't know, there's something fun about watching people have fun.
Yeah.
Like,
to a point. I can't watch Always Sunny. Like,
I can't. I gave up on it. But like,
no, I never even started. Like, I watched one episode. I go, no, they're just trying to outdo themselves. I can't watch this.
But like, I think an example I always use is like, I don't think Empire Records is a particularly good movie.
But come on, that's so good.
No. But like, don't hear me out. I love that movie though, because you're watching it and you're like, everybody that did this movie had a blast while making this movie.
I didn't get that.
Through every shot. And it's so good.
That's so 90s cool. That's Cool Sean, that movie. Cool Sean could have worked there.
He could have. Trust me, Empire Records is like top 20 movies for me. But every time I watch it, I'm like, man, this really is just trying to cram every teen drama cliche into like 90 minutes with like...
So good. And what's so much better about that movie is like, it's the rarity to find the good version.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find the real
version. Did you ever get that Blu-ray?
No, I never did.
I should have found that and brought it for you. Yeah. I apologize. I'm a terrible friend.
I just do you want me to say yes, we are friends, so that way you can feel better about yourself? I wanted to buy the Blu-ray, but I don't want to spend money on something that's not that version.
That version.
Yeah. Because I feel like I have the VHS.
Yeah.
That's the right version.
The
right?
VHS is the right version. Yeah, they had that terrible blue art box director's
remix
version.
Once you find
version.
It, I would gladly buy it. Yeah. Like, I just want to know if it's the right one.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure it's the right one. We watched it for Rex Manning Day this past year, and it was the right one.
Sorry, one second. Right.
Well, I mean, we're...
I'm almost done. Almost... my notes here. Real quick. Now that I live in California, any old man with a mustache, I think, is George Feeney. And I always go, you think that's Feeney? You know, and it's never. It's just an old man with a mustache.
You'll find him one day.
Yeah. Oh, and then how he signs it, AU.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Is it Kilry AU?
Yeah, what's AU stand for? AU! Yeah. And I just wrote stupid stuff like Morgan, how Jonathan Turner came back in Girl Meets World, and what's your favorite candy bar?
Yeah.
And those were my notes.
Butterfinger.
Really?
Twix.
I'm a Three Musketeer or Milky Way guy.
Those are very similar candy bars, too, in overall texture.
Yeah. Well, because like, what I like about the Musketeer, it's all the good stuff. You know, like, there's none of that stringy stuff, but like, if I had to do my top five, because we're, it's a Halloween thing.
Yeah.
You know, Musketeer, I'm sorry, Three Musketeer, Milky Way, then I'd throw a Kit Kat and maybe a Twix, but those could be interchangeable, and then I'm really done. I don't like anything past
that. You're not a Reese's Cup guy?
I hate peanut butter.
Yeah, I guess. I don't like peanut butter, but I like Reese's Cups. It's weird. So, before we sign off, you just had a movie come out on DVD, like, yesterday.
When is this coming out again?
October 28th.
Yes. A couple days ago, yes. The Bill Murray Story is Life Lessons Learned from a Mythical Man.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll be able to get it on Amazon.
Sweet.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you could just send a link out.
Yeah, I'll post a link in there for
people. Yeah, we sold out South by Southwest with our premiere. We sold out many screenings at Hot Docs and Canna for international premiere. What's great about
because
these...
Because last time you were on, you were just editing it. We actually recorded in your editing room.
Oh, okay.
And you showed me what you had done so far.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You know, it's funny about these festivals, though. It's like, as, like, where we are now currently, since we're recording in July.
Yeah.
It's like everyone has their little sectioned off premieres. Like, South by Southwest was our world premiere, right? Hot Docs was our international premiere. We went to Newport Beach, and that was our Southern California premiere, you know? And then we just played Chicago with if you're keeping it in here, the movie with the Nards. That was our Midwest premiere, you know? And next weekend, I'm going to Miami for, I guess...
The East Coast premiere?
A Florida premiere, you know? You know? And then, like... And then we're playing a couple of festivals in, like, UK and Australia. And, like, I told this one festival. I was like, well, we're already playing Australia. Because that was our Australian premiere, you know? Yeah. And they're like, as long as it's Sydney. So I guess, like, there's, like, a Sydney premiere. It's like, I don't... Sure.
Everything has to be a premiere. Yeah, it has to seem exclusive to every person.
Yeah, it's just a screening. It's just a screening.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Tommy.
It's about Bill Murray's stories, and you can check it out. It's really good.
Yeah, everything.
Joel Murray's in it.
I've heard nothing but positive things, so I'm very excited.
Well, you've only heard me talk about it. So.
No, I've heard other people see it. Other people have seen it.
Richard Roper gave us a 3.5 out of 4 stars.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you do wrong to not get that half star?
I don't know. I guess you just can't get, nothing can be perfect anymore, you know?
Corey, get a grip. We're only going to a Halloween party.
Yeah, that's how it starts. Then we get married, have kids, and I eat them.